Blog Talk Radio.
I just got a flashback, a crack-up. You remember when Obama was in Germany and he was apologizing to the German people for war crimes committed by the Americans? And everybody, all the communist press was bragging about the fantastic turnout and how Obama was so readily accepted. You know what the turnout was for Obama? 200,000 people. And the press was screaming how great it was. Do you know, at the same time that Obama was apologizing for American war crimes in Deutschland, I think the town is Dortmunder, they were having a sex festival at the exact same time. You know how many people turned out for it? 1.2 million. Yeah, unbelievable. And after the rally, they went over and they attacked the 200,000 that turned out for Obama. Yeah, so don't let the media mislead you. The media sucks. I'm thinking of Newsweek. Newsweek is the most anti-American magazine that was ever spawned. And if you don't believe me, you know what you do? I go back 1 year to the December 7th issue of Newsweek in Japanese and see what's on the cover. You know what's on the cover? An American flag in the garbage can. And that's what Newsweek thinks of the American flag. Don't be fooled by these people. They hate God and they hate country. Our country. They are not American. They're internationalists. They're leftover Bolsheviks from another time. And the other one is Marine Killing MSNBC. During the entire war, since 9/11, since day one of 9/11, MSNBC devoted 1 week to putting up pictures of GIs that were serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. 1 week. And then they must have fired the girl who was patriotic, and all the pictures came down. And then they spent every weekend for at least 20 weeks showing you prison pictures and how inmates get along on the weekends in America's prisons. And you heard me talk, and you'll hear it again in this show, about Louis Pepe and why we cannot let these Gitmo detainees come to American soil. They cannot come here. This is sacred ground. And they're in violation of it. They cannot come here. Do not let them come. You will live. You may not live to regret it. So what else is going on? Obama bin Laden gave a speech today about how he's going to protect America by not waterboarding Al-Qaeda. And that he's starting to sound like a crybaby. He was left a Bush legacy, and he has to clean up this mess. This guy wouldn't know a mess if he created one. Now, Dick Cheney spoke. Dick Cheney should have been president of the United States. We're all coming to realize that now. And Georgie should have been the vice president. But I got to say something about Georgie. Since Georgie left, he has not made any waves. No grandiose speeches. No, Al Gore. He betrayed us. He played on our fears. And he doesn't like chocolate pudding. Yeah. Al Gore. There's a guy that could be bought by anybody. If you got a cookie jar, you could probably buy Al Gore. You could buy his allegiance. As a matter of fact, if you got bottles back going back for refund, you could probably buy Al Gore. But right now he's owned by George Soros. And speaking of George Soros, did you see the meeting of the richest people in America? Was that sickening or what? Some of the names that came up. One was a Rockefeller. Oprah Winfrey was there. Warren Buffett was there. And George Soros was there. And so was Mayor Bloomingdale. When I think of Mayor Bloomingdale, I think of a nuclear explosion in New York City, and Mayor Bloomingdale is leaving town, and he's halfway across the George Washington Bridge, running over pedestrians shouting, "Get out of the way." Mayor Bloomingdale made a big stink about Rudy Giuliani wanting a third term of office. He called it unconstitutional. And after he had a second term in office, he paid off the city council, and now he's going to run for a third term. How's that? Is that the same as Donald Trump filing bankruptcy? So, George Soros is a billionaire communist. And I'd like to know what stocks are George Soros are sold short on 9/10/2001. I don't trust this guy. He is evil with a capital E. And he thinks he can buy this country. Just because he owns a president doesn't mean he can buy the whole country. You think about that. And it's time, and none of these people have been elected to office. But they're running the government like they own it. Hang in there, I'll give you a tune. That's the late, great Dizzy Gillespie. Not a mean bone in his body. A credit to America. He let everything roll off like water on a duck's ass. And he's up in heaven now. He's playing with the big band, Maynard Ferguson, Herbie Mann, Louis Armstrong, and I'm going to play a tribute that Louis did to Dizzy Gillespie. That song, Manteca, that you just heard, was done in Carnegie Hall, I think in 1938. And it was the introduction of Latin jazz, a mix between Afro-Cuban music and bebop. And Dizzy Gillespie was instrumental in doing that kind of instrumental. Hold on. And today all we got is a couple of dirty guys that can play a guitar. And fans that can't dance. They pay $200 a ticket to have some drug addict or blow smoke in their face. It's cool, man. It's really cool. That's why I say guns don't kill people. Electric guitar players do. What do we have today to lead the pack? Did you ever see a Bruce Springsteen go overseas and entertain the troops? No, but he'll have issues. I'm for the little people. Give them the regular mustard. I'll have the Grey Poupon. Yeah, Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, he's from Jersey. He made the song Jersey Girl. I thought it was Guernsey Girl. He was dating a bunch of cows there. I saw him one night. He was committing sacrilege on stage. And Roy Orbison was there. I felt so sorry for Roy. I mean, Bruce Springsteen couldn't hold a candle to Roy Orbison. And I really felt bad for Roy Orbison. How sad. It was like seeing Bruce Springsteen on the same stage as Roy Orbison was like watching an aardvark at a dog show. I'm going to play you a tune done by a black guy. Remember when black guys used to be able to sing? And here's another guy that didn't cry for Reparation H. He made his way in life. He paid his own dues, and nobody gave him a pair of crutches.
From the table up at Birdland to the place where Dizzy dwells, in the beards and the funny hats they love so well. All the boppers are assembled, and when they're really high, they constitute a weird personnel. All the riffs these cats are playing are crazy, cool, and gone like this. Ooly-oo, Scooby-Goo, Ooby-Dooby-Dooby, Ooba-Bee-Dappin' like that. So let them beat their brains out till their flatted fifths are gone, and they'll pass and be forgotten like the rest. Yes, they're poor little cats who have lost their way. Ba 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 ba. They're little lost sheep who have gone astray. Ba 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 ba. Every wrong note that they play is a gem. So Lord have mercy on every one of them, for they Bye-bye.
I warned you about oil prices, and they're coming back. They're up to $62 a barrel tonight. Once those oil prices go up, we're all screwed. Between OPEC and the President of the United States, we're screwed, blued, and tattooed. We're all up the fat lady's burqa. We're in trouble. These oil prices, there's no reason for them to climb. Ahmadinejad put missiles on the Straits of Hormuz to raise the price, so it's part panic, and it's part speculative creativity. And we got to stop it. We got to turn those prices around and back down, by hook or by crook. And I'll tell you something. If I was the President of the United States, which I may be after the revolution, the security and safety of the United States depends on the price of oil. And I'd be pumping that crap out all over the country. Well, I'd be drilling in New York. I'd be drilling everywhere I can. I'd be begging Sarah Palin to cut us a deal to open up ANWR. I'd be pumping that stuff. I'd have Caribou bringing those barrels down here. This is ridiculous. And here you got the governor of California who's broke, who has just been turned down by the citizens who were leaving at the rate of $3,000 a month, and being replaced by illegal immigrants. You've got this governor of California, and he's getting ready to demand from Obama 49 state welfare. The 49 states are going to carry California, and off the coast of California sits capped oil wells that could be uncapped tomorrow and pumping that goddamn price down. But you see, California only takes care of itself. It should be entitled Selfish of California. And change the name of the state to Selfish of California. They want a handout. They want 49 states. They want some guy in South Dakota that's making 20 grand a year to pay their hoi polloi tab, their latte money. They're a disgrace. We'd be better off without California. Give it back to Mexico. And let them take Pancho Schwarzenegger with them. How much would we lose if we gave California back to Mexico? They could take Hollywood too, and then Hollywood could make anti-Mexican movies like they make anti-American movies. Yeah, they could make movies about the Mexican police. Yeah, Mexican police brutality. Yeah. Let the Mexican people confiscate their winnings. Let's see how they like it. A windfall profits tax on Hollywood, Mexico. Yeah, you see how quick they fly to another city. What a joke. Have you seen any good vampire movies lately? How about Stalking Women? How about blood porn? That's the latest craze in Hollywood. They make blood porn. They have a terrified woman being chased by a guy with a big, long butcher knife or a chainsaw. This is called a love scene in Hollywood. I call it a blood porn, and that's what it is. They're in competition with soft porn. Yeah, be sure to see the next vampire movie, or Kenobi, and his partner Tom Hanks as they make the Da Vinci area codes. Watch Opie take the painting of the Mona Lisa and remove the outer layer to discover that Leonardo da Vinci hid area codes for hell, hell being a 202, the Da Vinci area codes. Yeah, anything to bring down the one true religion, the American religion. Anything to bring it down, they do. They have nothing better to do. Yeah, there's not a Walt Disney amongst any of them. They're all a bunch of fantail shrimp. And don't forget the drug training films, because you got to learn how to tie the hose around the main artery. So when you pop the skin, that you do it right. And be sure to bring the kids and bring the old folks, too. Yeah. And bring Al-Qaeda. And Obama bin Laden is going to close Gitmo, except the Senate voted 94-6 not to close it, because nobody wants it in their neighborhood. Yeah, they, you know what I say? We should put them all in the basement of the head of the ACLU, and give them some chemistry sets. Yeah. So there, Obama got his mandate today. So we spent $200 million to build Guantanamo, and now Obama's going to close it. And they're talking about building Guantanamo 2 in some poor sucker's city or town. And I got people that don't even want a rehab center next to their house. You think they? You want to know the truth about putting them in a prison? You get my... go into the archives and get my story on Louis Pepe. You know who Louis Pepe was? Louis Pepe was a guard. He was a 300-pound guard in Manhattan, a federal jail. And guess what they did to Louis Pepe? They put him in charge of escorting two Al-Qaeda who were kept in the same cell when Louis Pepe protested and said they shouldn't be, two Al-Qaeda shouldn't be in the same cell. So what do you think the Al-Qaeda did? They were given the same privileges, the ACLU privileges, as all the other inmates. So they went to the commissary and they bought plastic hairbrushes. And then they went back to their cell and they sharpened them down and they made spikes. And what do you think happened? Louis Pepe was given the assignment of moving two of them by himself to another location. And as he was walking them down the corridor, they jumped him. And one guy sprayed hot sauce in his face and blinded him. And the other guy stuck the shank in his eye, up to his brain. And you know where Louis sits today? In the dark. He has convulsions. Okay, this is two Al-Qaeda, and this jerk president wants to bring 250 of them and spread them throughout the land. Louis Pepe, his life is over. He sits in the dark. And you want to know something? You want to see how the government covers up their mistakes? There was a camera that videotaped the whole thing, and they can't find the videotape. How's that? And that's in Manhattan jail in New York City. Two Al-Qaeda against one unarmed guard. You think about that. And do you want more Louis Pepe's? He also has convulsions. And do you know he went to court to testify against these guys, and the judge had him handcuffed and thrown out because he got carried away? When he screamed he wanted justice. And his sister comes over and reads to him. And his father and mother, they may have passed away. He was living in their house. And that's what Louis Pepe's reward was for defending his country. He got no help. Just like the U.S. military, it gets very little help. They got more help from Bush than they're going to get from Obama bin Laden. They're going to get the shaft by guys that are head of the military committee, like Carlos the Jekyll Levin, who hates the U.S. military, and he's in charge of their appropriations. How's that? He's going to see to it that they get taken care of. And you know they're going to be in Pakistan next. This Taliban is not going away. And if I was bin Laden, I'd be working by the millisecond to get those nukes. And boy, you don't think there isn't a lot of money changing hands in the Middle East tonight. And it's all going to Pakistan. It's there to buy the military. We have no idea what's going to happen to us next. We're going back to 9/10. And the ACLU and the Democrats are going to do it to us again. They're going to hold us to take the bullet. They're going to use us for a body shield. And the worst thing you can do is let the price of oil climb. And it's climbing because the spring and the summer's coming. Let me tell you, you got to do something. You got to fight back. You can't just stand in line like we did in 1973 and take it in the rear guard. You know what I'm saying? It's time you did something. You got to do something. And Obama is going to cut the supply of oil. He's going to destroy the coal industry. He's going to destroy the oil industry. And we're all going to be paying $6 a gallon. And some politician who never had to earn a paycheck is going to tell you six is not bad because the Europeans are paying 12. They always compare us to Europe. We're not Europe. We threw Europe out of here a long time ago. We are America, and we are Americans. And it's time that we realized that we have to live up to the legacy that was handed us by our forefathers. We are not Europe. We are not the International House of Pancakes, which I love, because they fly the biggest American flag. Perkins. I love Perkins. Perkins flies the biggest American flag on my island. And thank you, Perkins. And you know what? They even donate 15% of whatever you spend to your favorite charity. So just make sure you don't send it the money to Al-Qaeda. You send it to the wounded warriors. You send it to veterans who are going to get the shaft once again. I think the Democrats are practicing their spitting distance right now. So when the troops come home, they can do like they did in Vietnam. And never forget that Democrats get you into war and they leave you to die on the battlefield, promising they will never run again. But they run again and again and again. Except when they're getting pizza deliveries and harmonica lessons in the Oval Office. If you don't get the price of oil down now, you're screwed. You're screwed. There's only three things that you've got investments in. You've got investments in your job, in your 401k, and your real estate, your house. And right now, two of them are not doing good. Okay? And the third one can go at any minute. There's 2,000 car dealers that are about to have to give bad news to all their employees. You didn't see Obama telling those 2,000 car dealers the bad news. He wasn't breaking any bad news. He left that dirty work up to the low man on the totem pole, who has to look at his brother and say, "My friend, I'm sorry, I got to tell you this, we got to let you go." Have you ever fired somebody? Have you ever let somebody go? It's not an easy thing to do. It's heart-wrenching. And you got to be careful how you do it. Some people are very callous when they do it. They have no idea. I treat every employee like a loaded gun. And I don't want to see them back looking for other employees to kill, because I'm off for the day. So you got to be very careful. These are tough times coming up. And beware of this stock market, that there may be a false rally, and it may be the last hurrah before we go into the toilet. This thing may go up another 2,000 points, and then it may take a dive. And if it takes a dive, and the government has shot its load, its last load, then we may be all in for a ride that we're not going to like. And I can tell you that those 2,000 car dealers are all viable businesses, and those guys were all making money, and they had their life's investment in those locations. And they're getting the shaft. Well, the union is cutting a deal with Obama. Obama is favoring the union, and he's getting rid of the small businessman, because the small businessman is a threat to communism. And you got a socialist state, whether you know it or not. But you don't care, right? Because you're going to have a government job. You're going to be a bootlicker. So what happened to drill, baby, drill? You see, as soon as Obama, it was like little kids that wanted ice cream. And the ice cream was drill, baby, drill. And then Big Daddy Obama smiled and said, "No ice cream. No drill, baby, drill." And you never heard the words drill, baby, drill ever again. The Republicans were told they couldn't say it, and they had to go to bed early. Yeah, and here the Republicans are trying to they're trying to become more like Democrats because they think that's what the American people want. The American people want their country back. The American people want jobs. The American people want profits, comrade. So get the price of oil down. That's step one. If you don't, you're in trouble. That oil goes back over $100 a barrel. You're screwed. You're out of business. You're out of work. We need that black gold. And don't tell me windmills are the answer. The Dutch have had windmills for years. It's not windmills that's going to do it, and it's not solar that's going to do it. And nuclear might do it, but it's going to be coal, lightly scrubbed, and it's going to be oil for the next 20 years. And don't buy this five-year plan that Stalin has given us. And if you buy one of these gas-efficient cars that he's going to invent, that you'll get your gas money back in 3 years. What, when gas is what, $2? How long is it going to take to get your gas money back when gas is $10 a gallon? You think these Arabs are going to take less money than what they were getting before? Not if they have their way. They want as much money as they can possibly get. We got 20 years yet to go on fossil fuels before we come into something more creative. And I'm telling you, it's not windmills. If it's windmills, my name is Don Quixote. We need black gold. Black gold!
Free from black gold, our love never can be. Once we lived in a shack drilled for oil, precious black gold.
Remember one of Obama's first speeches? He told everybody, you better learn to speak Spanish. Did he ever tell anybody that they got to learn to speak English? This is the same guy that apologized to Germany for war crimes? Yeah, oh man, are we in trouble? You want your country back? It's going to cost you. You're not just going to get it back. You took too long losing it. You're not going to get it back overnight. We're going to talk about abortion. But before we do, press a 5 for English. I mean, press a 5 for English. Or is it a 5 for sinking? I just got a 2 flashbacks listening to that song. I grew up in an all-Irish neighborhood. Well, when I say all-Irish, it was predominantly Irish. But we had Armenians, we had Turks, we had Jewish people, German Jews from concentration camps. We had Italians, Chinese. The Chinese at that time, the kids were raised in a laundry shop, and they slept in that back of that laundry shop, and their fathers and mothers took in laundry. So we were we considered ourselves to be rich, but we were poor neighborhood. But in culture, we were rich. We started to get some Puerto Ricans into the neighborhood. And all the bars were Irish bars. There was 3 on every block. There was Shamrocks in every window. And one night, a buddy and I were standing outside the Cartwheel. That was the name. It was the only one that didn't have an Irish name. It had a cartwheel, a neon cartwheel that was rolling. And we had just, we were saying goodbye, we were chatting, winding down the night, and this drunk rolls up, comes up to us, and he says, "Hey, fellas, could you, I haven't had a bite to eat all day, could you lend me a couple of bucks for a meal?" So my buddy starts to pretend that he doesn't understand what he's saying. And he starts to speak to him in pidgin Spanish, like "¿Qué tú quieres, amigo?" And so the guy goes, "Hungry, hungry," and he's rubbing his stomach, and he looks at me, and I go, "Babara bateri con limpe," and he goes, "No, hungry, amigo, hungry." So I said, "Oh, I know, you got a tummy ache." And he turns to us and he goes, "You effing Puerto Rican bastards." And that's the way it went. The other one is a guy I know and love comes to me and he tells me he's got a turkey in the oven. And, that's like I flash back to another, what do they call that? Methyl. In Arabic, it's called methyl. When you the words don't really mean what they say. and I forget what the English word is, but he says he's got a turkey in the oven. And I says, gee, I'm surprised. I didn't even know you cooked. And it's not even Thanksgiving. And then I found out what a turkey in the oven, it's like under the table. You know, when a guy says he wants to get paid under the table. Yeah, I had no idea what that meant when we did our first real estate deal. You know, we're all looking under the table. Maybe he doesn't like the money above the table. But anyway, so turkey in the oven boy, he should tell his daughter that he failed to name her turkey. But he did the right thing. He married the young lady who he impressed and convinced her to fall in love with him. And so he did the right thing, at least in the first stage of his life. So I'm sure that'll be some points in paradise. And you know, the Arabs believe that when the doom day comes, that's what they call the judgment day, is that there are two angels that will be bringing your case before God. And one angel will have the book of all your good deeds, and the other angel will have the book of all your bad deeds. And wait till they find out that there's no virgins in paradise. That the 72 virgins are Jewish men. Yeah. But anyway, we're talking about abortion. And I just wanted to give you some stats because I discovered them tonight, and I'm going to share them with you whether you like it or not. They say there's three subjects you should never bring up in a bar: politics, religion, and branches of disservice. Now, they've changed that a little bit, but those are the three that I remember. So we're going to talk about two, politics and religion. And I want to give you some stats. They're kind of scary. You know, they're always telling you that rape and incest, is a big factor in abortions. Well, guess what? Guess what the percentage of rape and incest is that applies to abortions? I'll give you a hint. It's the same as the recovery rate from heroin addiction. You ready? 1%. How about fetal abnormalities? 1%. Same as the recovery rate from heroin addiction. How about the mother's health? 3%. 95% is that abortion is a form of birth control. What a terrible way to control birth. So there you have it. There's some stats that should blow your mind. Now guess which state has the most abortions? If you guessed California, you're right. I think these stats are from 2004. I think these stats are from 2004. They might be from 1994. So don't hold me to the year. 280,000 child murders in California. Guess who's second? New York. 152,000. We kill 152,000 kids a year. You know what? I don't think they did that much in Nazi Germany. I don't think they killed that many kids a year. What's another state? Here's one that surprised me. I'm very disappointed in this one. Texas, 91,000 abortions. Wyoming, go Wyoming, only 208. I can hear the jokes now. Yeah, well, there's only 208 people. Yeah. Pennsylvania, 38,000. Massachusetts beats Pennsylvania. They killed 39,000. Florida, 80,000. That's scary when you consider a lot of senior citizens live in Florida. And God help us. God help us all. So I just thought I'd throw those stats out. We're murdering 1,200,000 a year. It was 1,400,000. Throughout the world, it's 42 million a year we kill. So we're killing a 1/42 of the aborted population in the world. Yeah, throughout the world, we kill 115,000 kids a day. You want to know the religious breakdown in the United States? 37% of all the women who have abortions are Protestant. 31% are Catholic. The Jewish population, only 1.3%. Maybe they know something we don't know, huh? No religion, 23%. Born again, Christians, 18%. I think these stats are from the Center for Disease Control. How about a financial income? People earning less than $15,000, 29% have abortions. Of the abortions, they're 29%. 15 to 30K, 19.5% of the abortions. Here's one that scares me. A 30 to 60K, 38%. And over 60K, 13.8%. 52% of all abortions take place before the 9th week. 12% between the 11th and 12th week. 1% after the 20th week. 43% of all women in America will have at least one abortion. 47% have had more than one abortion. And 14% of all abortions are paid for by state funds, your taxpayer money. Now guess how many abortions they have in the UK? 201,000. Australia's 91,000. Belarus is 155,000. Cuba, that's Michael Moore's homeland, and Danny Glover's, 209,000. Germany, 131,000. Israel, 17,000. Sweden, 32,000. South Korea, 230,000. And here's one that's going to blow the socks off you. Vietnam, guess how many abortions in Vietnam? 1,500,000 plus 500,000 in the private sector. So they got 2 million abortions in Vietnam. How's that? You like those figures? Which one rocked your boat? Russia has 4 times the number of abortions that the USA has. China has 10 million abortions a year. And the average Russian woman has between 3 and 8 abortions. How's that? And here we got the ACLU. Can't wait to get your 13-year-old daughter into the clinic to get her ready for the rest of her life without telling daddy. Don't tell daddy. We got a long way to go. I don't know how we get back on the road to recovery. Now, Sarah Palin didn't have an abortion, and the left hates her for it. Sarah Palin's daughter didn't have an abortion, and the left despises her. You think about that. A woman from Alaska has to teach us, as downstaters, how to treat God's precious gift. And for this, she gets scorned. And speaking of scorned, I got to go back after Notre Dame one more time. I had visions of Notre Dame's graduation ceremony, and playing in my mind was Pontius Pilate, who was on the platform, and he said. To the crowd, who were calling for the crucifixion of the one protester. He said, "Who should I release to you today? The unborn child or Obama?" And the crowd shouted, "Give us diplomas." Here's a stat that'll blow your mind. In 1972, 77% of the people having abortions were white. 23% were black. In 1994, that figure had dropped for white women. Went from 77% down to 60.5% in 1994. Yet for black women, it went up to 34.7%. Why do you think that is? Does it have to do with affluence? The more money you have, the more abortions you have? What do you think? We got too many. I just want to save one. So when I meet my maker, I can say I tried. I just want to save one. At the moment of conception, is that child in communication with God? Is that child saying its first prayer? When that child feels that he's being threatened or she is being threatened, do they ask the Lord for shelter? Do you think they get bad vibes? I'm watching a show one night, and it's a girl going into a clinic, and she's a drug addict, and her boyfriend is a drug addict, and she wants to have an abortion because she doesn't want to carry double heavy load. And she's feeling guilty about it. And the doctor, I don't know why they call him a doctor, because the Hippocratic Oath says, do no harm. But this doctor, I call him a butcher. He cautions her, and it's the first time, I never knew this. He mentioned post-abortion syndrome. He called it weeping syndrome. And I just happened to look it up, and the headline says, sometimes it lasts for 5 to 10 years. And here's some of the symptoms. Frequent weeping, feelings of depression, sleep disorders and nightmares, difficulty concentrating, and loss of self-esteem. You know, that's a lot of weight on a woman. You know? Johnny Jump Up, who is half the problem, he's off the hook. He feels nothing. This woman has got to carry the weight of the world. Self-destructive behaviors, suicidal thoughts and attempts, alcohol and or drug abuse, eating disorders, abusive relations, unnecessary risk-taking, repeat abortions, grief and anxiety, feelings of victimization, dramatic personality changes, extreme or chronic anger, increased tendency towards violence, compulsive behaviors, feeling of guilt or remorse, isolation and alienation, anxiety attacks, irrational fears, emotional numbness, sense of hopelessness, withdrawn behavior, flashbacks, sadness, loss of joy, irritability, memory loss, sexual dysfunction, loss of pleasure from intercourse, painful intercourse, sexual coldness, an aversion to sex and or males in general, confused sexual identity, the development of an indiscriminate sexual lifestyle. But the one that bothers me the most is frequent weeping. Hang in there.
Like that's our show, folks. Let me close with the tune. Let me see which one we're going to give you. Give you a love song.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time. Out of the mist, your voice is calling. It's twilight time. End of day, I'll hear you, my dear, at twilight's time. Deepening shadows gather splendor as day is done. Fingers of night will soon surrender the setting sun. I count the moments, darling, till you're here with me. Together, at last, at twilight time. Here, in the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous beneath the blue air. In the same and sweet old way, I fall in love again as I did then. Deep in the dark, your kiss will fill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you, together at last at twilight time. In the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous beneath the blue. Hey.
love that fills me with dreams untold. Oh. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you. Together at last at twilight time. Together at last at twilight time.
Did we open with a nice tone?